Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, when Jesus came, and we've been going through the I Am series, that he was the Lord God of the Old Testament, and he made this very clear over and over again, as we have seen, and we will see more in this segment. In the two Greek words, ego, eimi, which means I am. And that is in the sense that it applies to him as God manifested in the flesh. Now, he even had to teach his disciples this. And he did this through the ceremony of foot washing, which is to be done on the Christian Passover night. Just a little sidebar. Communion, Lord's Supper, sacrifice of the Mass are all counterfeits of the true Christian Passover. Now, if you want to know about the true Christian Passover and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you write in for our book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. That explains the whole reasoning behind it. But foot washing becomes a very important thing. Now, think of this. Here is God manifested in the flesh, who is going to his death in a few hours, who is teaching the disciples the lesson of humility through the ceremony of foot washing. Now, this is quite a thing. At first, Peter didn't want Jesus to wash his feet, and Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. So Peter said, hey, not only my feet, but my hands and my head, too. Jesus said, you only need to have your feet washed. And so Jesus washed the feet of all the 12 apostles. And when he sat down, he asked them some questions. John 13 and verse 12. He said, do you know what I have done to you? Now let's see his answer, because this becomes very important, you see. All the words of God are God-breathed. They're important. And the way you understand the Bible is with the adding of scriptures together. The way that most people understand the Bible is the wrong way, by subtraction, taking away the scriptures they don't want because it doesn't agree with what they think. Well, the question is, do your thoughts agree with God? Because unless they do, whatever you think you're doing is worthless, not counted before God. Matter of fact, may even be sin. Just like the thing of foot washing. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Now, let's see how he explains it when he asked them the question, do you know what I've done to you? Now, let's pick it up here in verse 13. You call me the teacher and the Lord, and you speak rightly because I am. Now, that's not a declarative thing yet, but we will see that I am becomes a declarative as to who Jesus really is. Now notice verse 14. Therefore, if I, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you are also duty-bound to wash one another's feet. How many people practice that? And if they practice it, do they do it in the context of the Christian Passover, which is observed once a year, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar? Not Mass at 10, 2, and 4 on Sunday, or every morning. Or when Mel Gibson did the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and that's why I wrote the book, the day Jesus the Christ died, because though he had many things in there which were true, he didn't even portray half of the truth, because he didn't tell anyone that it was on the Passover day, that that was the crucifixion day. He did not tell them who Jesus really was. He did not show them about the foot washing. He did not understand about everything that Jesus went through. So this book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, is necessary to give the full picture of it. And when they were doing the movie, they would take Mass repeatedly through the day. Whenever they would have an important scene, they would have a Mass. Nowhere in the Bible does it say Mass, Lord's Supper, sacrifice of the Eucharist, communion. It is the Christian Passover, which must begin with foot washing. Do we live by every word of Jesus? Do we believe what Jesus said? Or do we read these things and say, oh, well, that was for the Jews? Really? Did you know that most of the disciples were not of the tribe of Judah, called Jews? Most of them were from Benjamin and Levi and the family of Aaron. They were not Jews of Judah. Now, most people don't know that. Let's go on here. For I have given you an example to show that you should also do exactly as I have done to you. Do you do that? Does your church do that? Do they believe this? Why not? Do they profess Jesus? Why don't they do it? Do they tell you that you have to love Jesus? Why don't they do it? Jesus said, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely mine. Does your church do that? Do you do that? Let's go on. Here's the lesson. Truly, truly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, nor a messenger greater than he who sent him. Isn't that something? That's the lesson. And what happens? People think they're greater than God because they do their own way in the name of God. And remember Jesus' example where he said, I do nothing of myself, and the Greek is ek, originating from within me. See, because the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter what we think, unless it's in agreement with what is in the Bible. And today, opinion and self-will is almost sacred when God counts it as nothing. Here's a profound lesson. You cannot accomplish spiritual things by physical means or physical attitudes. Yes, it's physical to wash the feet. But there's a spiritual lesson behind it. And the messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. And Jesus was going to send them into all the world. And they were to teach the words of Christ. They were to preach the gospel, not their own devising of it. And you look at the history of Christianity and how it was changed, and it is utterly and irredeemably pagan. Straight out of the cauldron of Satan the devil, because they violated this very thing here and made themselves greater than the Lord, made themselves greater than the one who sent them. Verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And the Greek there is poieo, meaning to practice them. So we all need to ask ourselves questions. What do I practice? What do I do? How is my life before God? Now verse 18. I'm not speaking of all of you, for I know whom I have chosen in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now he knew what was going to happen. It was prophesied that there would be a betrayer. But now notice verse 19. I am telling you at this time before it happens, so when it does happen, you may believe that I am, ego e me, defining his title, defining his name, I am. Now, he was telling them this at the beginning of the Passover ceremony. After it was over, and they left the house where they were keeping it, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus gave his final prayer. So after they left, after he was done praying for the 3 hours, then here came Judas with a band of officers from the chief priests and Pharisees. Now they had their moment. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That was also prophesied for. You know what 30 pieces of silver is defined as in the Old Testament? The price of a slave that died, and you had to pay someone for the death of that slave. How much did Jesus humble himself? How much did he, in becoming a human being, put himself through? The worst of any human being. Now they came out with torches and weapons, and they were looking for Jesus. So when they came, let's come to John 18 and verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that were coming upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am." Told him exactly who he was. And Judas, who was betraying him, was also standing with them. But when he said to them, "I am," they went backward and fell to the ground. So this is just not a simple declarative, "I am." This is a proclamation of who he was. "I am." So Jesus asked them again, verse 7, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." And he answered, "I've told you that I am," declaring who he was. Did he tell his disciples who he was? Yes, "I am." Did he tell the chief priest and those at the temple who he was? Yes, he said, "I am." Did he tell the Jews who believed in him who he was? Yes, he said, "I am." And that ties right in exactly with what we've read in Exodus, the 3rd chapter. "Who sent me?" "I am has sent me," Moses was to say to the children of Israel. So now, "I am" comes into flesh. God manifested in the flesh. Now later, he was taken before the high priest, and they were questioning him. And again, now this is a little after midnight, and they wanted to know what was going on. And so let's read the account of their examination of Jesus Christ. Let's come to Mark, the 14th chapter. Verse 55, "And the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were trying to find testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they did not find any. And many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. And some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, 'We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" Well, yes, Jesus did say that. But is that worthy of death? No, it's not. So you see, Jesus suffered false accusations, correct? Because he's got to pay for the sins of false accusations, right? He's got to pay for the sins of lying. He's got to pay for the sins of murder. Verse 60, "Then the high priest stood up in the center and questioned Jesus, saying, 'Have you nothing to say in answer to what they are testifying against you?' But he remained silent and answered nothing." Again, the high priest questioned him. Now, this is the chief man of the religion of the Old Testament, which had become the religion of Judaism with all their traditions. So he questioned him, and he said to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am." Ego e me. He identified himself as God manifested in the flesh to the high priest and the whole Sanhedrin, all of them who were responsible for running the Jewish nation. They heard, they knew, they were told, they understood Exodus 3. Let's see what else he said, because the rest of what he said comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, referring to a vision of the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days, that is Christ coming resurrected to God the Father. Notice what he said. Jesus said, "I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then they knew. They knew. They had no excuse. Jesus was right in front of them, telling them, "I am." Let's see how they responded. Verse 63, "Then the high priest ripped his own garments and said, 'What further need do we have of witnesses? Have you heard the blasphemy? What is your verdict?' And they all condemned him to be deserving of death." Now you see, what would history have been like if they would have believed Jesus and repented? Now, let's come to John, the 20th chapter. Let's see how the apostles understood it. After Jesus was resurrected and appeared to them in the room. Remember, he came and stood right in the midst. Now let's pick it up here in verse 24 of John 20. "But Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Then the other disciples said to him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger in the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe at all.'" This is where you get the term doubting Thomas. Let's see what happened when Jesus appeared 8 days later. Let's see that Thomas really changed his mind. Verse 26, "Now after 8 days, his disciples again were within, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came after the doors were shut," walked right through the door, spirit being, you walk right through the door, "and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put forth your finger and see my hands, and reach out your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing.'" See, even Jesus had to convince the disciples and the apostles. Notice what Thomas answered. And this becomes very profound in understanding who Jesus was. Verse 28, "Then Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" Did they recognize Jesus as God manifested in the flesh? The answer is, yes, they did. As some people claim, he didn't exist until he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Not true. Philippians, the second chapter, tells us, though he was God, he emptied himself and became a man. And we showed how that was possible, because God has made man in his own image. Male and female made he them. For the very, very purpose of God being able to be manifested in the flesh as a human being. and for the very purpose of us being able to enter into the family of God as the sons and daughters of God, the children of God at the resurrection. See how the world has everything so mixed up and upside down? And that's why we have church at home, because only in the privacy of your home can you go through these messages, study your Bible, keep the Sabbath at home, pray to God, study on the Sabbath, push out the world, don't let it in, and God's presence will be with you. The presence of Christ will be with you to open your mind, to lead you in truth. Then you can begin to understand how to love God, how to obey God, what the Word of God is, how we need to lead our lives, how we receive redemption and forgiveness and salvation. All of those things are in the Bible, and you need to know about them. But you first have to know who Jesus really was. Now be sure and request the book, A Harmony of the Gospels, The Life of Jesus Christ in Modern English. And it goes through with commentary, when was Jesus born? How long was his ministry? When was he crucified? How long was he in the tomb? When was he resurrected? And all of the chronology of the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry is all right in that book. Now, you can download it without cost to you, free. Now, if you want the book after you've downloaded it, then email us and we will send you the book at no cost. And then remember the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, so you can understand about the Christian Passover. These things are so important. These things are fundamental, because if you want to have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ applied to your life, when you repent and ask forgiveness of sin, when you want to come to God and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, you've got to know these basic things so that you understand what you're doing. Now be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, where we have over 2,000 in-depth sermons, series of Bible studies. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.